20% off MSRP during Ram Power Days at Brubaker Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram on Cobbs Ford Road in Prattville and the Eastern Boulevard in Montgomery, or online at Brubaker.com.
Qualified by savings, 36-month base, 10,000 miles per year, security deposit waived, $299 at inception, plus tax, tag, title, dock, destination, and acquisition fees. All rebates to dealer. Negative equity may be refinanced. Offers don't combine.
Hey, this is Willie Robertson. As CEO of Duck Commander, I'm a busy guy. Only Dixie Chopper mowers get the job done fast, so I can get back to doing what I love best, hunting. For over 30 years, Dixie Chopper has built a legacy of manufacturing the fastest and toughest zero-turn mowers. No other mower has the speed, power, and performance of a Dixie Chopper. Take command of your lawn with Dixie Chopper, the world's fastest lawnmower.
See the complete line of Dixie Choppers at Farmers Feed Service, U.S. Highway 231 in Wetumpka. Farmers Feed Service, an authorized Dixie Chopper dealer.
Everybody, troll pal, Sky Mosley, reminding you not to call David Ernest if you trust the government $19 trillion in debt to provide for your retirement. That's right. Also, don't call David at Ernest Financial if you prefer to pay all the taxes the government allows.
Hello, this is David Ernest of Ernest Financial, inviting you to join me for a free, no-obligation consultation. With over 30 years' experience in all areas of financial planning, no problem is too big or too small. Just call me at 334-279-7431 to set up your appointment. Retirement planning, Social Security, wealth management, taxes, whatever your issue may be. Help is just a phone call away. That's 334-279-7431. I'm David Ernest, and I look forward to serving you with all your financial needs.
Hey, folks, Dave Ramsey here. If you're looking for a great dentist, I want you to know that I trust Smile Makers. The doctors over at Smile Makers continue to raise the bar when it comes to dentistry. People are coming from all over to get a same-day smile. You heard me. You can get a complete smile makeover in one day. Whether it's the result of bad genetics, a bad decision, or just some bad luck, missing teeth can keep you from enjoying the life you deserve. At Smile Makers, you have options. Not only do they perform same-day smiles, but they also offer life-changing dental implants. When you're in need of complex dental work, I recommend the doctors at Smile Makers in Montgomery. Folks, experience and technology matter. Give Smile Makers a call today for a free consultation or a second opinion. 334-269-8086. That's 334-269-8086. Online at SmileMakersAL.com. And tell them Dave sent you.
Need a job? Visit one of the 49 career centers across Alabama for help with your resume, interview practice, or even train for a job. Find your local career center at joblink.alabama.gov. Sponsored by the Alabama Department of Labor, the ABA, and this station.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialists. For a free quote, call 1-800-577-2058. AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialists. They support everything you love.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. A frontal system cuts across the area early this evening. It looks like there could be a shower, maybe a thunder shower early on, but then mostly cloudy. Drier air behind the front, low temperature 70. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine, not quite as humid, with a high around 87. Tomorrow night's low 64. On Friday, more sunshine, upper 80s for a high. I think we'll be in the mid-80s on Saturday, should be dry, and maybe some widely scattered thunderstorms popping up during the day on Sunday, but most of us stay dry. Download our weather app, stay on top of the weather changes, 10-day forecasts, hourly forecasts, push notifications for watches and warnings, and a lot more. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hold on to your butt.
I'm, of course, surprised that a story had such an immediate and profound effect upon radio listeners.
Hooey pleases the boobs a great deal more than sense.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
In politics, man must learn to rise above principle.
What the hell are we doing here?
We are behaving the way a superpower ought to behave.
Well, our behavior has produced some crappy results.
What we're witnessing now is the failure of the state. It is a death struggle for our republic.
Giving voice to liberty in our time.
Joey Clark.
Hello and welcome to the program. You are listening to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. So humbly named after me, Joey Clark. Be sure to check out my Facebook page, the Joey Clark Radio Hour. You can find it on the Book of Faces. I'm working on a website. Folks are like, Joey, you gotta get going. You gotta be on top of it. You should have had a website out of the gate. Well, don't rush me. Don't rush me. I don't know where this show's gonna end up in the next few months, let alone year. So why build a whole website and all this sort of stuff? Well, but you gotta build it. Expect for the future, Joey. It's like, whoa, I don't want to. I just want to do a show. Just want to enjoy myself. I don't want to plan. Like, I don't want to work hard, but I want to succeed in life. And you're giving me this weird look, my sidekick tonight, you folks, don't
wanna,
Nate Hicks.
You don't want to do adulting.
I'm terrible at adulting.
Right. That's why you're not married. You don't have kids. You just want to have fun.
Oh, I have my moments.
That's right.
Where I feel like a man child.
Right.
But then people are like, you're so wise. And when people say that to me, I don't get a big head. I go, oh, good Lord, we're in trouble then.
You know what it is? You're like the cane of radio. You are walking the earth with your knowledge and solving problems, but you like, lie your head nowhere. You know, like
Kang
in Kung Fu.
From the WWE?
No, Kung Fu.
Kung Fu Kang?
Yeah. Don't you remember the TV show Kung Fu?
No.
Yeah, it was Robert Carradine.
No, this is before
he
my
was
time.
A kung fu master.
Really?
And much like the Hulk, he wandered from town to town, solving problems of people and imparting his wisdom on the masses.
Did he get angry?
No.
So he's not like the Hulk.
No, he's not like the Hulk. He's like the peaceful Hulk.
Don't make him get pensive. You don't like him when he's pensive. He thinks too much. He's in his own head. And that's where I found myself last night.
Why you couldn't sleep.
Yeah. It wasn't like a dark night of the soul. It wasn't, I've been depressed before. I've been through some sad times. It wasn't that. It was more just couldn't turn the brain off.
I've been there.
And finally, I fell asleep at about, 3, and woke up at 9, a very unhappy camper. Somebody called me this morning, and they sent me a meme that was Grumpy Cat.
Yeah.
And it said, this was you this morning, and the top said, love is in the air. Somebody find me a gas mask. I was in that mood where it's like, bah, humbug. I felt terrible. And it's mostly because I didn't get enough sleep. I didn't have enough time this morning because I like to wake up early and have this routine, but I
do yoga.
Off. Yeah, I am doing yoga. I've lost an inch off the waist.
But did you get to do yoga this morning?
Not really.
See, it threw
not
you
the
all
one
off.
I wanted to do an hour program. I only had time for 20 minutes.
And also, when you go to bed with penned up anxiety,
yeah.
I mean, it carries over to the next morning. And so you
sure
didn't have
does.
Any resolution. So maybe tonight can be cathartic for you.
That's my hope. Well, and actually something already sort of knocked me out of my funk earlier today.
Are we going to play funk music?
Well, actually, the album of the day, if you want to get right to it. The album of the day, let me find this. Well, we've already featured this artist before.
You know what?
But not this album.
Funk you very much.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Let's see. Where do we... Yeah, we've played this artist before, but not this album. This is a little into the future for this artist, but very much in our past. Young Americans. David Bowie.
I love David Bowie.
I believe 1974, 75, 76. See, these albums come out in a certain year, but it's made over a few years. This album is fantastic. Bowie wanted to do sort of, what do they call it, plastic soul? Plastic soul. But in order to find a more soulful sound, he went to the funk and soul community. He came to New York, went to the Apollo, found Luther Vandross when Luther Vandross was just a backup singer. Worked with all sorts of folks at the Apollo, and so they created this album that really is a great soul album with this weird psychedelic English sensibility.
Well, I like that he also traveled to Africa and took in the musical culture there. I mean, he was a multi-layered person when it came to his music.
Well, and, you know, it brings up a memory for me. It's a weird one. Again, I didn't plan it. But the last thing I watched with my mom when she was really, to put it bluntly, lucid, That's the worst thing about brain cancer is you, before, way before the person dies, you realize it's not, they're not all there.
It's similar to Alzheimer's.
It is. It's very similar to Alzheimer's and dementia. And the last thing we watched, though, was a documentary called 5 Years about David Bowie and, like, 5 different years in his career and all the different transformations he did. And so I think Bowie's music will always have a weird place in my heart because I'll associate it with my mom. But that brings me to this morning and the funk I was in, and not in the good kind of funky way. This isn't Soul Train. This was Joey was angry. I was Tweak, like in the new season of South Park. Like, oh, Trump's going to ruin everything. He's going to bomb North Korea. How can we be calm at a time like Disney? How? He's ruining everything.
Timmy!
And I was in one of those rare moods. And, you know, I have to admit, I've become desensitized at times. Mm-hmm. You might have heard me on the airwaves earlier this week and last week that, oh, there are fires in California. Nothing new there. Nothing new in the news. If I step back, there are a lot of people suffering because of those fires, no matter how often it happens. And this has been quite the blaze, like never before. Now, there are things they could do to prevent that. But, you know, when the shooting happened in Las Vegas, my initial reaction wasn't shock and anger or sadness. It was like, well, this has been going on time immemorial. It's biblical. But I worry that I've become, at times, comfortably numb. That at times I've become too desensitized. Like, you watch the news, and you see people calling out hypocrisy and liars every day. Hypocrites and liars every day. And it becomes trying. It's like, instead of those of you without sin, cast the first stone, everybody walking away, everybody's going, well, all right, let's start throwing stones at one another and cracking some skulls because none of us are perfect, and that means we all have to point out our flaws and where we go wrong.
I did a podcast a couple nights ago in the same kind of genre in that we've become so desensitized and we've lost our empathy. We've become a society of no empathy. And it's all because of Facebook and social media that all we care about is how it deals with us.
Right.
But then, all of a sudden, something out of the blue that has nothing to do with you slaps you in the face and you have a breakdown because it all catches up with you eventually.
Well, there's this joke in the Netflix special called Oh Hello Broadway, I believe. It's like John Mulaney and some other comic who are playing like two old men who love Steely Dan. Steely Dan is the best. And they said that when a celebrity dies, here's what you do. You blame the year and you make it about you.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've done that and we take things personal. I get it that when Tom Petty died, people remember what the time was when they first heard Free Fallin' or Learning to Fly or Won't Back Down or wanted to learn the guitar solo on Running Down a Dream. I get all that. I was heartbroken when Prince died.
How many times did you see 2016, Don't You Dare Take Betty White?
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what you're talking about. We personalize these relationships with these stars and these actors and these singers and because they touch us in certain spots in our soul, but it's all about us.
Yes, it is all about us. And when I get too much in my own head, like I was last night and this morning, you do become desensitized. And something knocked me out of that. I felt today, like I almost broke down and started crying. I'll put it this way. Imagine somebody who's 90 years old, 91, 92, 93, and up. How much life they have lived. And I imagine over 9 decades or a century, you didn't live a perfect life. Nobody's a saint. I'm sure you have things you regret or things you wish you might have done differently, or maybe you don't wish you could change it and you're glad that you learned from your mistakes. And you're glad you've met all these friends and you've been able to see the world and all its changes. So think about somebody who's 90. What have they seen? Saying somebody's 92, that means they were born in 1925. In the midst of the eye of the storm between the two world wars. grow up in the Great Depression, grow up in the war, grow up in the post-war era. You see the revolutions happening in the 60s. You see a man land on the moon, walk on the moon. You see all these changes socially, presidents coming and going, Congress is coming and going, the rise of the internet, like all these things we take for granted. Like just how much life and the world has changed in 90 years. And so when I saw this local story this morning, it really broke me down. I didn't know this person at all. I'd never met her. Actually, I hadn't never heard that much about her. But this woman, who was 92, one of her friends said it was just a good friendship. She had a lot of wonderful church friends. All the people in the choir were her friends. She really enjoyed all of them. She loved to sing, so the choir was a big part of her life, her retirement. She always came to luncheons on the third Tuesdays of every month. And, you know, anytime somebody dies, people remember the moments they had with one another. I remember people I never knew coming up and saying, here's how your mom touched me. And, yeah, but you think about somebody who goes through 90 years of life, all the ups and downs of that life, all the historic moments, whether it's a space shuttle or the Berlin Wall or whatever, 9/11. And then for it all to end, due to somebody breaking into your house and bludgeoning you to death. Mary Lou Gettle. She was murdered last week. She was 92. And even though she had 9 decades under her belt and was still going strong, she was found dead in her home. Forced entry had been made into the residence. Confirmed the cause of death to be homicide from blunt force trauma. And I'm getting emotional right now. Like I said, I've never met Lou, as people called her. I'd never really heard of her until today, until this comes up. And I,
you know, part of it is any person of that age that you meet and that you talk with, they have, I mean, I work
perspective.
I work at the VA and I meet tons of people in that age group and a little bit younger. Every single person you look at in that age group, you think, man, they're just like my grandparent. You know, you have that instant connection with that generation as a grandparent figure. And when you hear of someone bludgeoning them to death, it not only hits you personally because you look at that person as a grandparent, but you also say to yourself, why didn't that person see them as a grandparent figure? You know, why didn't someone say, oh my gosh, I broke into a 90-year-old woman's house. You know what? Maybe I move on to the next house.
Well, and it makes you remember how important it is not to lose that empathy, not to lose that concern. And the fact that that's the way she had to go, you kind of wonder, you know, when's my time going to be? Makes you hold on to the day. What do folks say? But by the grace of God, go I.
There go I, yeah.
And though I personally don't literally believe that, I do think there are things beyond us we do not understand. You know, I have to sit there and think, how many people did Lou help? How many people will be at Lou's funeral? How many people did just one woman through 90 years touch? And
how many people has she touched that have already moved on, even? I bet she touched millions right. of lives that probably are already passed. Because when you get to that age, you pretty much outlive all the people that you know.
Oh, yeah, and life becomes funerals and marking out address books and maybe putting people in.
I've met lots of elderly people, and they say the first thing I do in the morning is I read the obituaries.
Yeah.
My old landlord, that's what they would do every morning, is he and his friend would sit there and just go through, oh, yeah, I remember going to school with them, and I remember that person lived down the street from me. You know, and you think, on our level, we think it's depressing, but on their level, it's cathartic because it's the passing of an era. It's a passing of the time, and it's almost like, you know, things that we've forgotten come back to the forefront. People that we've haven't talked to in years come back to the forefront, and we actually get joy from having memories of them.
And I find that, because I am going to make this about me. And
that's fine.
Damn it, 2017!
It is your show.
It's not a celebrity who died, but it made me wonder, why am I so sad about Lou? I mean, the answer's obvious. Yet, when I know there are people being harmed in the fires in California, when I know there are dozens dead, hundreds shot in Las Vegas, that I don't feel the same pain and sadness. When I hear, you know, things were going on in Houston, there was a hurricane in Malaysia with hundreds dead. You know, we think about these wars going on. Do I feel the same way? And I think it's just the senselessness of it all. It's like, how did this person who bludgeoned her to death not see a grandmother? I think that's what bothers us, because people die, mostly in this country, from having lived a good life, lived and led a good life. Like, oh, I ate a bunch of fatty food and I died of a heart attack. Well, it's sad you might have died of a heart attack, but you probably had a lot of fun along the way.
That cheesecake was good.
Right. I mean, and some people die of awful diseases like my mother. But even though that's tragic and really sad, there's something about when it's not an accident, it's not a disease, but it's when, and even like it's not a, like a novelty. It's not this outlier like the shooter in Vegas. It's not a natural disaster, but it's when it's one individual looking at another individual. When it's somebody who we don't know who is the person that killed Lou. But when you go and you break into somebody's house and you see somebody who is essentially your grandmother, your great-grandmother, and you kill her, for what? For a little extra money? For some possession you're probably not going to get anything for?
Senseless.
It just, yes, it makes it all the more upsetting.
There's no way you can reconcile it. And, you know, from my personal experience, and we have a similar connection here. My grandparents recently, 2 years ago, died, both within 2 weeks of each other. My grandmother had Alzheimer's. My grandfather died first, and my grandmother didn't know because she had Alzheimer's. We didn't tell her.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to put that stress on her.
Right.
And she dies 2 weeks later. And during that time frame, going to the funeral, I was sad, but I was more relieved that they were no longer in pain. They were in their 90s. Yeah. They were no longer in pain. And two nights ago, I was thinking on them, and I don't know what triggered it, but I just became emotionally distraught.
Yeah, I
believe because that. Of the loss. And I think maybe that's what you're going through right now. Is I'm sure you grieved your mother.
Oh, yeah.
But I think you were relieved on some level that
she was no longer
struggling with the disease.
At the end, I was. I very much was.
And then out of the blue, this incident brings all those emotions back to you.
For me, I think what I'm getting at is it's so personal. It's not like dropping a bomb from the sky.
It's not even like shooting someone.
It's not like shooting somebody from 50 yards away or a mile away. The idea of, with your bare hands, killing somebody, again, for what? It seems so foreign to me. How could you do that? And it reminds me of how important it is to take individual responsibility, folks. Because I'm sure the authorities in this area, like Daryl Bailey today, the district attorney, said, quote, "I'm angry about this case. I'm angry about the number of shootings and homicides we've had. But this case in particular, who in the world would do this to a defenseless 92-year-old lady? She's living her life, and they come in and they take her life from her in such a brutal fashion. The only type of person who would do this is just pure evil with no conscience. I can guarantee you that the person will be found and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law." I agree with Daryl's sentiment. But we have to remember how important it is not to get too caught up in your own head. Either as woe is me, or I'm on a mission from God to save everybody. Unless you're the Blues Brothers, then you're fine to be on a mission from God. That's completely fine to share the blues.
You know, but the other thing is that, you know, this is the kind of stuff you see in movies. Like, right. when society is breaking down, this is the kind of rampant, violent behavior that you see. But are we in that kind of world right now? I mean, are we downsliding into a world of just mass chaos and rampant?
But we're not. Like, more people have never been alive. Like, there are more people alive today than ever before in human history. People have access to life-saving medicines and procedures. People have access to food like never before. Abject poverty has been cut in half over the last few decades. Violence is down. War is down. Yet what do we see in the headlines? Right now on our TV screen, there's fire. 21 killed in the California fires. A couple weekends ago, it was the shooting. Then it's nuclear weapons in North Korea and then Iran. How is it that though there's this incredible, wonderful life around us, the focus of especially our most important institutions, the people that inform us, the people that supposedly lead us, in politics or in other ways, they're always focused on the violence. Always focused on sin and hypocrisy. And I have to step back at times and say, life, no matter how it ends, is good. Now it can suck sometimes.
That's what I like about Facebook is that, you know, for every thing you're scrolling through and you see some horrible story, there's a cat video.
Right.
You know, there's levity there at least. And I encourage people, turn off your stuff and read a book every now and then. Or watch a fun movie, you know, watch a Disney movie. Watch Mary Poppins.
Right. So, folks, I know I'm a bit rambling here today.
They had a cat on TV, so after all the fire, and there's a lost cat that gets found and returned to the owners.
But maybe it's just trying to be, you know, a cool and collected person. That, oh, yeah, this is, rationalize it. This is, you know, violence has been going on and everything's getting better. Sometimes you see and you read about something so horrific, you can't help but react emotionally. So I hope they find this person who murdered Lou. Mary Lou, 92. She led so much life. And for all the historic things, we can look through timelines. All the moments in the war, all the presidents that came and went, all the big moments. In my mind, none of that matters as much as the friendships And the faith, I'm using faith in the broadest sense, folks.
The lives touched.
Exactly. And it sounds like Lou, what folks are saying, was a wonderful woman. Well, folks, when people die, tend to say nice things.
Mm-hmm.
Like my grandfather died in his 90s, and or great-grandfather, excuse me.
You've told me this story.
My grandfather, both of them are still alive, and I love you both. I love you, Ron, and I love you, Ray. Though, Ray, I know what your real first name is. My great-grandfather, on my mom's side, he told me one piece of advice. He said, Joey, and he was really, you know, he was from a kind of a rough part of the world. I think he immigrated here from Poland in the early 1900s. He's in the essentially Polish ghetto in Newark, New Jersey. Used to play, you know, actual like gravel lot football before professional football ever came about, and people started yelling and screaming over the over the damn anthem. And he told me, Joey, stay away from women, save your money. Well, I can say, Papa Joe, I haven't listened to you. I apologize. I haven't listened to you, but you're right. If you can hear me now, you're right. I should have saved my money. I should have stayed away from certain women. I haven't given up on women yet. It is National Coming Out Day. I'm not coming out in that way.
Okay, good.
Because I do like
not that
women.
There's anything wrong with that.
If you want to come out, come on out. You can do it on the airwaves. If you want to stay closeted for your reasons, feel free, whatever you want to do. I personally am not coming out on National Coming Out Day. But, you know, I think about his life, and he was, you know, he was kind of this otherworldly figure to me as a kid, my great-grandfather on that side. And when he died, I remember his open casket. I said, no, that's not him. I mean, that is, it's his body, but he's not there.
Yeah.
It's my experience in every situation. No, he is there in the memory. He is there in, like, all the ways he touched people's lives. And let's not sugarcoat it. Sometimes he could be an SOB. He had a rough, you know, childhood. He grew up in a rough part of the world. Does it mean I don't love him? Of course not. And
it's when you have those rough type people that impart that wisdom on you that you, it impacts you the most, because when they have a moment of sensitivity, it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
Grandpa just said that?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're also people that have been in their little hermit hole for so long, they pop out into the public arena and say something they learned like 30 years ago. They go, oh, wait, that's not cool anymore? I can't say that anymore? I thought I could.
I had a great-grandfather who witnessed the Hindenburg go down. And my whole childhood life, he was not lucid. I mean, he would say two or three words.
He was kind of there, but he was just there.
He'd watch TV and he drove.
Yeah.
He drove? But he didn't speak to anybody. And the day before he died, he was in the hospital and he had a moment of clarity and started reeling off all these memories that he had from his younger days, spending times with his son on the farm, going fishing with his boys, going out in the boat. And the next day he just dies in his sleep. And it's almost like his body said, I'm going to give your mind enough energy and nutrition for one last moment. Here it is. And he made the most of it. I'd never seen him like that. I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And after he passed away, they found, I have his stamp collection. He has a huge stamp collection. They found in his stamp collection a list of, and at the top it said, the things I love the most. And it was like my wife, my kids, working in the garden. I mean, just all this stuff. I mean, and to see somebody so rough and grizzled have that kind of emotion is just, it breaks you down.
It does. And, you know, there's a part of me, like, I'm sure you've seen Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that's like Ricky Bobby's dad, where they're sitting down at Applebee's, yeah. And he's just like, I can't do this! It's yeah. too nice! It's too orderly! It's too bourgeois! I gotta get out of here! There's a part of me that does that, where it's yeah. like, things are going too well, Joey's screwing up in some way.
Where normalcy actually seems weird.
Yeah. But... folks, if you think this is, you know,
why are you focusing on death and negative things? Where?
Well, have you read the headlines? Have you read the headline? It's all focused on people being weird sex perverts, and I'm perverted as the I'm perverted as the next guy, but I try to be, you know, consensual and nice about these.
Well, wasn't
sort of
it Yogi Berra that said no one gets out of this life alive?
But it's all these folks calling out hypocrisy at one another. It's people dying every other day because of a bomb dropped or a guy breaking into your house and bludgeoning you to death. It's just so, the news is so negative. Like, Joe, you've changed. You're cynical. You're depressed. Well, why do you think I'm cynical and depressed? Number one is because I can't buy the BS our so-called leaders sell me all the time. I really can't. What does Carlin say? It's called the American dream because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Yeah.
For me, it's not the American dream. It's about what are you going to do with your own dream? Part of this collective groupthink
yeah.
where we beat each other's brains in to see who gets power and who gets to define the American dream. No, the American dream is defined by each person individually, at least should be, and it's about personal responsibility. And if you get so far gone in this world that you don't have that small support network, that you don't have some sense of your ability to create incredible things and to have this ripple effect that goes on and touches people you may never meet.
Yeah.
If you forget about that potential for good, you will, well, say, murder somebody like Lou. Maybe not all of us will ever be there, and thank God for that. And I say that and mean it. But we can't get so focused on the negative and the ugly just because we want it gone. Sometimes we have to focus on the beautiful things in life. And again, the album of the day, folks, Young Americans by David Bowie. And, well, one of my favorite songs on the album is actually not a song written by David Bowie. I don't even think it was written by the Beatles.
Hmm.
It's a Beatles cover, is how people would say it. It's Across the Universe. It might be cliche, but when I get in this sort of mood I'm in now, it's hard to describe. Songs like this make it feel a little better. You're listening to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. My sidekick this evening is Nate Hicks.
Nathaniel.
Joseph.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll be right back.
News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hey, everybody. everybody, troll pal, Sky Mosley, reminding you not to call David Ernest if you trust the government $19 trillion in debt to provide for your retirement. That's right. Also, don't call David at Ernest Financial if you prefer to pay all the taxes the government allows.
Hello, this is David Ernest of Ernest Financial, inviting you to join Sky, Matthew, and myself every Thursday night between 6 and 8 p.m. at Folklorelli's Pizza on Atlanta Highway and get 40% off. Just say the magic words, reverse compound interest, to receive your 40% discount.
As always, the Professor of Prosperity offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Just call 334-279-7431 to set up your appointment. David wants to provide you with information formerly known to only the very wealthy and elite. 334-279-7431 for all your financial needs.
Hey, Lynn, got any plans tonight?
Yep, treating myself to a free meal thanks to Wind Creek Rewards.
How about this weekend?
Oh, I'll be enjoying my free hotel room, also thanks to Wind Creek Rewards.
Okay, how about next month?
Well, I'm taking a free trip to Aruba, thanks to...
I know, Wind Creek Rewards. I get the picture.
No, wait, it's not you, it's just...
Wind Creek Rewards, the games you love and the rewards you want. Sign up today at Wind Creek Casino and Hotel and find your winning moment.
Oh, man, piece of junk!
Claire, what are you fussing about?
I'm trying to crank this, a piece of junk.
Here, try this.
Man, what brand is this?
It's a Steel, the number one selling brand in America.
Wow, this looks great. Where can I get it? Home Depot? Lowe's? Huh?
Neither. You can't buy a Steel there, but you can buy one at my store, CTE Outdoor Power on Perry Hill Road.
Man, I bet they cost a fortune.
Shoot, this month, Larry, I've got all Steel equipment on sale. Blowers starting at only $139, grass trimmers for only $129, and the world-famous Steel chainsaw starting at only $179.
Man, you gotta be kidding. That's about what I paid from the home store for this piece of junk. Now, what I do, though, if it breaks? You ship it off, it'll take 6 weeks.
No, look, some Steel components have a lifetime warranty, but if it does break, I got the parts and service departments on site. We support what we sell. And check this out. With our exclusive Advantage plan, we'll extend your warranty, repair it in 1 week, or provide you with a free loaner. Now, who else does that?
Get out of here. From now on, anytime I need anything having to do with lawn equipment, I'm going to come to see you at CTE Outdoor Power on Perry Hill Road.
So now that summer is over, my daughter is back in school, that actually means I have a little more me time now. I've heard you can save hundreds of dollars if you switch to Liberty Mutual Insurance. Seriously, hundreds of dollars. I could get great auto insurance coverage and maybe squeeze in a massage or a facial. You too can save hundreds on car insurance simply by switching to Liberty Mutual. This message brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Savings vary. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
There's a season for everything. And right now, it's save up to 30% on appliances season at the Home Depot with special buys on innovative appliances that do more. Like a GE high-efficiency washer and electric dryer. Your clothes get cleaner without the damage. And they're just $586 each. Save $425 on the pair. Savings are in season with up to 30% off appliances at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, U.S. only. Gas dryer extra. See store for details.
Hello, this is Carl Schmidt, naturopath, owner of The Herb Shop. I'm excited to announce our new radio show on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. I'll be interviewing leading researchers in nutrition, scientists, medical doctors, specialists in the holistic field who can answer your questions. Tune in Saturday mornings at 11 a.m.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. A frontal system cuts across the area early this evening. It looks like there could be a shower, maybe a thunder shower early on, but then mostly cloudy. Drier air behind the front, low temperature 70. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine, not quite as humid, with a high around 87. Tomorrow night's low 64. On Friday, more sunshine, upper 80s for a high. I think we'll be in the mid-80s on Saturday, should be dry, and maybe some widely scattered thunderstorms popping up during the day on Sunday, but most of us stay dry. Download our weather app, stay on top of the weather changes, 10-day forecasts, hourly forecasts, push notifications for watches and warnings, and a lot more. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
You know what? When I hear this music, I think of Barry White. I mean, it's very Barry White-esque.
Yeah.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. That voice you just heard coming in is the voice of Nate Hicks. And the song you are hearing right now is David Bowie's Right off his album Young American. Well, and you say it's Barry White, kind of. Because it's soulful. It's so soulful. No, he really did go and say, I want actual soul musicians. And a lot of the backup singing is done by Luther Vandross on this album. But I remember watching in that documentary I was telling you about earlier that these backup singers had never seen arrangements as complicated, especially on this song. He, like, starts doing this, like, back and forth. Yeah. Weird rhythm. There's so many layers. It's like an ogre.
Yeah, so many layers.
Like an onion. Or like a parfait.
Everybody loves parfaits.
Everybody loves parfaits. Now, we got talking. The conversation, of course, continued off air, folks.
I feel like we should have candles out right now and the lights off when you play music like that. Don't take it to that level. I mean,
it is National Coming Out Day.
I feel like we should be like Johnny Fever, you know, like with the lights down and you're listening to Smooth Rock.
Sweat Hotel. Grown and sexy here on News Talk. I've got nothing on my brother's voice. He was deemed sexual chocolate by Randall the other day. But, you know, we got talking how senseless this murder of Lou was, and of course, Daryl Bailey, the district attorney here in Montgomery, very angry about this case. Like I said, I'm usually Mr. Cool. Oh, this has happened since the beginning of time. And I almost just broke down earlier today. And that said, it is also a test of what I believe in.
Yeah.
As far as government. Now, you were saying, off air, does Alabama still have
the electric chair? Mm. I'll be honest with you. Anything short of a bludgeoning is too good for this person. Mm. I mean, that's just me. You and I are different in that aspect, that when you see horrible news, you kind of introspect.
Right.
And I extrospect because I get angry.
Sure.
I get rageful at the injustice.
And I feel awful at the injustice. And, like, I'm trying not to swear here on air tonight because it's emotional.
Well, you did learn a bunch of new Christian swear words, so
yeah,
there
earlier.
Is that.
Darn tootin'.
That's right.
Fiddlesticks.
Shut the front door, that fart knocker.
Yeah, shaving cream. No, I am very much, and still am, even after this story, against the death penalty administered by the government. Because, well, here's the basic logic, the sort of dispassionate argument, is that, well, do you really trust the government to balance your checkbook? Uh-huh. Do you trust the government to run your health care? Do you trust the government if you're a limited government person or a libertarian? Your answer is probably, of course not. And if you're on the left and you think the government will be great at health care and whatnot, do you really think the government's doing a great job with your military overseas in your name? They'd probably say no. And I would say that how many people are put to death by the government after due process.
Yeah, but you know,
what is the wrongful death rate?
Yeah.
How much of is 1% acceptable? 2% acceptable? I think the actual number is actually higher.
Anything's unacceptable. One's unacceptable.
Right. And then, but we take examples like this and say, this guy, eye for an eye.
Yeah.
Eye for an eye. I am all for making sure whoever did this to Lou is put away somewhere and never seen again.
But then again, the caveat to that is all those examples that you cite are federal examples. And this will be handled on a state level, maybe even a local level, but by a jury of his peers. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not all federal control. There is the...
Well, no, and I was... I think this has happened in the states, too. This is my point. That I think having a systematic death penalty that's legal can lead to some very bad outcomes. And you can get into how it's actually worked and how the appeal process. People are on death row for years and years and years. And then sometimes the lethal injections don't work. Sometimes the electric chair doesn't even work. And there's a part of me that... I get it. There's a vengeful aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody did me or my family wrong, I would. If somebody killed my mother, for instance, I'd want to kill them. I would wait, and I would say,
calculate.
Don't do this. And I don't think I would find peace knowing that person had been killed, either or, you know, silently with the lethal injection, which isn't all that peaceful.
It's the Batman argument.
Or that, tortured.
That, you know, in Batman, he is out finding vengeance for his dead parents. And, you know, in several of the movies, you know, Alfred says to him, you're never going to find peace. You can kill or beat up or stop as many crimes as you want. You'll never find peace.
Exactly.
Because it has nothing to do with vengeance.
And so I always go back to this case in Texas from a few years ago where it was a local farmer, rancher, and he found one of his farmhands essentially sodomizing his very young daughter. And he killed the farmer, killed the farmhand on the spot. And he was brought before a grand jury in Texas, and they said, you are free to go, sir.
Mm-hmm.
If I was on that jury, I would have said the same thing. I just get worried when we start thinking of creative punishments for the wicked. Because a few centuries ago, that was the way, not even a few, just one or two centuries ago, the way you dealt with people who broke the public rules, who broke laws, was very publicly...
You stoned them to death.
Yeah, torturing them or shaming them, maybe if it's a slight rule you heard. It's sort of what ISIS was doing. They cut people's hands off.
But in the same century, there were actual sanctuary cities for murderers.
Yeah.
Where murderers could go and live as long as they never left that city.
Well, I think there's something to exile. And also, I think you could have essentially like murderers' camps. Somebody says, we're going to make sure these folks live in this area. They're not going to be able to leave this area. And they pretty much fend for themselves.
Kind of like an escape from New York scenario.
Right. I just find that the death penalty, it's not worth putting an innocent person to death. And I guess that's where I differ with a lot of folks, like on questions of war. And it's not, oh, I'm being so PC. I could give a damn what you or other people think. I'm coming from a place
of, from your experience.
I don't think that's going to bring people peace, and I don't think it's right to just blindly follow the rule. So I hope this guy who killed 92-year-old Mary Lou, Lou as her friends knew her, is found. That he's brought to justice. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to cause a big fuss if they give him a death penalty. And in the same way, if somebody in Korea, North Korea, shot Kim Jong-un in the head,
you wouldn't lose any sleep.
No, I'm not going to lose any sleep. I didn't lose any sleep over Gaddafi being essentially raped to death with a bayonet.
You know what I hope? I hope if I hope for some reason that this reaches this person. If you are that person that took the life of a 92-year-old woman, Mary Lou, turn yourself in. I mean,
do it.
Because there is nothing in punishment that is going to be as worse as what you're probably going through right now. And for you, if we have to come look for you, it's probably going to be more remorseful for you to live than if you turn yourself in and say, here I am, I messed up, and I'm willing to take my ounce of flesh for it.
Well, and just because you're willing to forgive somebody doesn't mean that they are completely off the hook, that you don't also have justice. Right. And, you know, so often in our modern discourse, especially politics, there's a lot of people calling for apologies. When is the last time you've heard of a high-profile case of forgiveness? That somebody does something absolutely wrong, and they apologize. I can't remember the last time maybe somebody people have done it. I'm sure people have forgiven other people recently, but I can't remember the news making a big deal out of somebody forgiving somebody else.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm kind of getting at. Whether it's calling out somebody's lies on the other side of the political aisle, their hypocrisy, or somebody you maybe had a crappy relationship with, whether it's a friend or a romantic relationship, or a marriage, or whatever it was, a leader you trusted. Or it's somebody who murdered somebody you love. Or somebody who didn't do enough when they could have. You can go down that rabbit hole, and you mirror the very person that you hate. And it's not going to bring you peace.
Do you know who suffers the most for unforgiveness? It's the person that's holding the unforgiveness. It's a chain around their neck that drowns them.
Yeah.
Because the person that you're mad at, they're out living their life. And yeah. And they probably don't even know they hurt you. But if you can't forgive them, it's just, it makes you wretched.
In this last minute, there is, I think, a certain degree to what can we forgive on this planet. You know, I only have a minute left here, but there's a Vice documentary, a guy named General Butt Naked, and they called him that because he would fight in the wars in Liberia completely naked. He would eat the flesh of children. He would do all these things that were awful that a lot of other generals were doing. He's now a Christian preacher in Liberia trying to save people. He says Jesus came to him in a dream, said, "Son," in his native language, "why are you acting like a slave?" And he changed his ways. And the guy who was making the documentary said, at first, I'm like, yeah, this guy's changed. But then I'm also in the back of my head, wait, this guy
ate children.
So the world's complicated, folks.
Yeah.
We have to have the capacity to forgive.
And 1 hour is not enough for you to solve the world's problems, obviously.
Well, 24 hours ain't enough either. Maybe to get some other things done, but not to solve the world's problems. Nate, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This has been the Joey Clark Radio Hour, guys. Thank you for listening.